A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So once again, happy Father's Day to all who are fathers. So today is another year of Father's Day. And like I shared just now, we will revert back to our usual book that we follow, the reference book, The Path to Truth. For modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. So this is a book from Ciji. It's written by their abbess, Xi Qingyuan, Zheng Yan Pastor. So we are at page 73. So that is the section on mindfulness. After as I go through with you. The reason why we want to go back to this book is because we have finished our unit code, the sharing. And just now, I managed to meet up with Brother Tio and Sister Padmasri where they came over. They invited us for lunch. Then we met at a restaurant. And she suggested six Patreon platform sutta. Some of the printed books that we have evolved out through the transcript. Maybe the one later, later we will go into that. That one is more on the Six Patria Platform Sutta, which is a good suggestion. So I wanted to finish out this, The Path to Truth first. This book is more useful. This book actually focuses on a lot of very good Dhamma. Very beautiful cultivation. It is meant for we call modern day Bodhisattvas. So they put the title very appropriately, The Path to Truth. Means this is the teaching. The Dhamma is about truth. For modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. So if you are a Bodhisattva during this civilization, your cultivation is different because our present civilization is already much, much more evolved than 2600 years ago during the Buddha's time. Because nowadays, science and technology, they have evolved and progressed so far. So our civilization is very technologically inclined. So a lot of the understanding of science has helped mankind in various ways, but because they lack the complete spiritual understanding, sometimes their progress are distorted. They don't have the complete understanding and knowledge of all the five panchaniyamas that governs life and existence. That's why sometimes through their own selfishness, delusion, and lack of complete understanding, they created a civilization that is too technically inclined towards technology, but they fail to mitigate the side effect, the problems that arise because of that direction of growth. So like all this pandemic thing, pollution to environment, and the various effects of technological advancement on the human race. Even all your handphone AI, the 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, now 5G, the wave, the vibration, the media through which they transmit, some of these they are very detrimental to our human brain and also to environment. They can affect the ecosystem, your health and all those things. So because of that, this spiritual understanding needs to grow in tandem so that our civilization can be more balanced, can evolve in a better way. We need wisdom to bring back the understanding to balance off the one-sided development, which is very technologically inclined. That's the reason why I want to go to this book. And this book is very useful because it also involved the whole philosophy of Ziji, how they started and how they evolved to develop this training for their members. Their members are all called modern day Bodhisattva practitioners because the author, Zheng Yan Fa Zi, she liked to use this Ren Jian Pu Sa, means Bodhisattva within the human realm. So Bodhisattva within society. So it's a very different set of Bodhisattva than the early days people used to define them, because they used to define Pusa as higher beings, great beings, who actually seclude themselves, cultivate alone and cultivate in very difficult environment. They like to go for solitude and all those things. Then they dwell themselves deep into the Dhamma to perfect themselves. But nowadays, society has evolved. So understanding also has evolved. So a lot of Bodhisattva, they like to come in different form. In fact, Vimalakirti is the one that set for the tradition of lay people as Bodhisattvas. They come in the form of lay people because his way is a very unique way. He said as lay people, he can do a lot more things. He can go into any strata of society. He as a Bodhisattva is not burdened by all the Patimokkha and all those things. There are pros and cons. Initially, when you're on the training, you need the Patimokkha. But after you have developed the training, the understanding, then Patimokkha is a guide for those who are under training. Because when it comes to the real understanding, the Buddha used the word beyond training, asika, means you are no longer on training. Sikhas are sainthood or enlightened beings who are still on training. They haven't perfected themselves until they realize arahantship and beyond. Whereas asika are those beyond training. So when you have developed the understanding, then you can be Bodhisattva within society, within the lay community and all these things. So these are the new understanding that the spiritual community has evolved. That's the reason why nowadays you can see a lot of Buddhist practitioners. They not necessarily come in the robe. There are many lay people who are very good in the understanding. And they really can teach, can share, because life itself is our greatest teacher. We need to have experience of life, especially the worldly life, the married life, and the way society evolves. Because we have to deal with all form of people, all type of people within the various strata of society. Educated, uneducated, wealthy, poor, and those in between. Then also we have various type of religion, belief system, culture, and all those things. So you have to integrate all this. Then because of the way society evolved, now there are more and more mental sickness within society. Even very young people is developing all this mental problem or mental sickness. They call depression. they get into depression. And medical people call it OCD, OCD, a type of disorder. C stands for compulsive. O is obsessive, obsessive and compulsive disorder. The other one they miss is intrusive. The thought becomes intrusive. So it should be OCID, obsessive, compulsive and intrusive disorder. So we are seeing more and more of this. So people try various means to overcome them. You can try, but ultimately I realize all this may not be the final solution. If you want the final solution that really fixes the problem, you have to go back to the teaching of the Buddha, the Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you can root it out. And that one is ultimate. Otherwise, most of the time, temporarily relief, it will relieve you for a while. But the problem cannot be completely rooted out because the lack of wisdom and understanding. So I repeat, the title of the book is The Path to Truth. So Dhamma is the truth. The teaching of the Buddha is called the Buddha's Dhamma or Dhamma itself. That's why when you take refuge, the second thing you take is the teaching, the Dhamma. So the first refuge is the Buddha, the fully enlightened one, with all the nine great virtues. Perfect in wisdom and virtue, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. That's why his nine great virtue, one of them is teacher of man and God. So he is the worthy one, the blessed one, the fully enlightened one. And he is a guide incomparable. There is nobody who can guide people or teach people this teaching that leads to the end of all suffering and enlightenment in the here and the now. That's the reason why this teaching is very unique. Then after we take refuge in the Buddha, we take refuge in the Dhamma. Dhamma is his teaching, and he teaches the truth. The essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths, and they are called Noble Truths, not ordinary truths. It's because these are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones when you realize them, when you are able to develop the understanding and awaken to it. So noble truths are truths that can make you realize the enlightenment and transform you into a noble one. Or in the time of the Buddha, the noble ones are enlightened beings, Aryas. So once again, the title of the book is The Path to Truth, as you can see on the e-digitized copy for the modern days Bodhisattva practitioner. So the author of the book is Shi Qingyan, the Empress of Shiji. She is also the founder. She is the disciple of Master Yin Sun. Yin Sun is the first line of disciple of the famous Xu Yun Lao herself. Xu Yun is a famous 120 years old legendary Zen master that actually started the modern day Mahayana Buddhism in China. He is the one that organized the whole setup, and China become a country with this established Mahayana. It's all because of him. He actually gather all the people, then they set it up until today. Okay, then we will continue from where we end. In fact, before the MCO, we already have covered quite a number of chapters. We are on page 73. So here, although the title, they use this word practice, actually this word is not so appropriate, but if you have the understanding, it's okay. Because they translate it as the practice of mindfulness. Sometimes the English translation that is misleading. When it comes to practice, means it's something like repetitive. Do you understand? Like I practice how to play badminton. That's why you need constant practice, repetitive practice. Means keep on repeating. Then it becomes a practice. But when you understand what mindfulness is, mindfulness is not a practice. You cannot practice to be mindful. Mindfulness is whether you understand what mindfulness is or not. The moment you understand what mindfulness is, then you can be in that state of sati or mindfulness or awareness or zhenlian. You technically no need to practice. Actually, the word is not appropriate. That's why I say I prefer another word, cultivate. Cultivate mindfulness. When you cultivate means you develop understanding, then you will realize what sati is. Without thought, you are already aware. That's from the unique code. Do you have to practice mindfulness? No. Well, when you say the practice of mindfulness means who practice? The thought who came out with the idea practice. And when thought is active, how can you be mindful? That's why this word is not appropriate. Yeah. But I think it's more of a problem with the English word. Your practice means repetitive. Repetitive means mechanical. You don't have to remember, you just keep on practice. That's why they come up with method and technique to practice. It's not to practice. The method and technique is for you to develop mindfulness, like anapanasati. Mindfulness of the in and out breath. You don't practice. You develop mindfulness of it, awareness of it. So when you cultivate mindfulness, you have understanding, means the moment you are without thought, you are mindful. So the whole of meditation becomes very simple when you understand that. That's why you look at the four support, the first two. Relax. Relax means what? At ease. No tension, no stress. So when you are relaxed, you don't have to think. You don't have problem, understand not? You are at ease. Then maintain awareness. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. Why do you want to practice to be aware? They have to practice because the mental hindrances are there. They don't have the spiritual faculty. So when they lack this understanding, their mind becomes heedless because of the lack of spiritual faculty. It gives rise to the mental hindrance. So in order not to be heedless, be lost in thought through the mental hindrance, so they need a method and a technique. But they don't know that the purpose is to anchor the mind so that it's not lost in thought, so that you can be mindful of the object of meditation. So the key is to train your mind to be aware, mindful. So when you understand all this, you don't have to do the method and technique technically. You focus on the spiritual faculty. Once sati is there and you understand what sati is, that's why you relax, maintain awareness, and realize that sati or silent mind. Then meditation becomes very easy. You are in a meditative state straight away, without having to do anything. Relax, maintain awareness. Initially, you are not used to it. It will take a while because your habitual thinking, the heedless thinking, you are not able to develop the stability of the spiritual faculties, sadha, virya, sati. And because your daily life is not in order, you don't have the daily mindfulness that is stable enough to make you heedful throughout the day. So you tend to develop a lot of habitual tendency, one of the mental hindrance. That's why you cannot meditate. You cannot be in the meditative state where you lack the understanding of sati. So meditation will only kick in and become clear when you understand that without thought, you're already in sati. So your main intent is develop the spiritual faculty so that there is no more thinking. And what are spiritual faculty? You check. Saddha means what? Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When you have faith, your mind becomes very calm, very composed. There is no more doubt. There is no more restlessness. There is no more wavering mind, heedless mind, restless. Sensual desire you will all no more because it is composed with the faith. Then, through an understanding, you will drive your mind to cultivate. When virya arises, no more sleepiness. And all this doesn't involve thought, faith leading to virya, the tenacious energy, the spiritual tenacity to move this way, to cultivate, where you see the importance of this teaching. And when it drives you, you will develop sati through understanding. And when sati is there, you don't think. Sati means aware, no thought. Then immediately you are in the meditative state. Then you stabilize it. That's how you realize your silent mind, your true mind, your meditative mind. Yeah. Then from there, the mundane mind arise. The mundane mind move. Then if you are mindful and aware, you can see why it move, how it move, dependent on what it move. Then you start to understand how you function as a human being, how your brain, memory with its views, opinion, and accumulated knowledge, your belief system, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your culture, your tradition. So all this mold you and make you rigid, make your mind so conditioned. So because of that conditioning, views, opinion, belief system, etc., you have certain pattern of behavior which is very predictable. And because of that, you act using that memory. And if you were to check, all memory is all of your accumulated experiences, good and bad. It has the evil root, it has the self-delusion. It has all the negativity of mind state. It's seldom wholesome. So because of that, you get into trouble. That's how you react to sense experience. You become angry, unhappy, then sometimes miserable, afflicted. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then you develop envy, jealousy, conflict, misunderstanding, war, everything happens. Yeah. So when you see it in the meditation through the silent mind, then you understand how this mundane mind, they arise and pass away, dependent on condition. And you start to understand the Buddhist teaching, you can relate. Yeah, they are all relating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Dependent on wrong view, it arises wrong thought condition, evil roots, mental hindrance, and you become entangled and afflicted. That's how suffering comes to be. Then the Four Noble Truths become clear. Yeah, this is suffering because of delusion, self-delusion, wrong view, wrong thought. Then it condition, craving, grasping, that leads to misery, affliction, suffering. Then you know the cause is due to craving, born of self-delusion, wrong view. Then you straighten your view. Then when the Buddha says suffering need not be, when you understand the Dhamma, then you straight away understand, yeah, when I understand, I will not be deluded. I will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the four right effort. Then when I cultivate according to this, my mind free liberates, and I develop the wisdom to understand many things, understand who am I, what am I, how I function as a human being, and I understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. I understand the Four Noble Truths is three turning. Then I develop wisdom and free the mind, liberates the mind. That's how you free your mind from suffering. Then you will realize the various stages of enlightenment, leading to the final cessation of form and mind, the realization of Nibbana, the third noble truth. Then you will understand the fourth noble truth. Yeah. When you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. All this will become clear to you. That's why mindfulness is very important. So when sati is established, you don't think. There is no ill will, no mental hindrance, nothing. Presence all cease because you don't have thought. You are just aware, mindful in that state. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means the mind is collected and unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or the thought recall through memory something, it will not waver anymore. It will be collected and unwavering. And then you can see things as they are. Where this mind does not stir and waver due to your wrong view, your memory, your conditioning, your belief system, your insecurity, your scars of memory, all this cannot influence it. Where this mind does not stir anymore, it has some more collected and unwavering, that's why it can see things as they are. Then it realized, before you perceive through memory, there was no words, no concept, nothing. Then you start to realize, that which I see is not what the people say, not what society say. I can see things as they are, no word, nothing. And there are no duality, no dislike. It's just that thing, so pristine, so beautiful. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then your understanding of truth and reality become different. Then you start to see things as they are. Not in accordance with what your memory, your views, opinion, and conditioning tell you. That's why you transform. You are able to develop the direct seeing, which is not from memory. That's the reason. J. Krishnamurti said, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Your memory is your rubbish. It's not wisdom. How do we act? According to the Buddha, we have to act following Noble Eightfold Path. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? It's the meditation as taught by the Buddha, the advice of the Buddha, which is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, which is mainly wisdom. When you have right view, you have wisdom. Right understanding, then you can arise the right thought, right choice, right action, and the four right effort and the right livelihood. And this is sila, morality. That's a purification of sila, morality. And then mindfulness to purify your content of consciousness. That's a noble eightfold path, is the teaching of the Buddha, mainly born of wisdom. And wisdom is very important. When you have wisdom, you are not deluded. You can awaken, you can free your mind, then you are not cling, you are not attached, where you can see the universal characteristic of anicca, dukkha, anatta very clearly. Then the mind becomes different. It can transcend duality. It can see beyond form, beyond mind. It can see truth, reality as it is. Then that wisdom liberates the mind. The mind is transformed, awakened. That's why it's always tranquil, still, peaceful, with clarity, joy, understanding. And this is what heedfulness is all about. The mind is no longer agitated, restless, clinging here, clinging there, grasping here, grasping there, kipo, argue, still entangle with all the duality of right and wrong. That's how conflict comes to be, misunderstanding comes to be. And the world is the way it is because of this lack of understanding and delusion. Okay, so I wanted to delve deep into this word mindfulness so that you understand, so that you don't make this type of mistake. So ignore the word practice, the cultivation of mindfulness. Then we will go into the sharing. You listen. This will help you. This is very useful. When we make good use of our time and cherish our relationship with others, we expand our circle of influence. Yeah. So here the explanation is, if you know how to make use of the moment to moment that you have within life, yeah, means make good use of your time, cherish your relationship with everything. So here he said, cherish our relationship with others. So others, they mean living being or human beings, but we can expand this because your relationship not only with human beings, living beings, like animal, non-human, or say, but also include the environment, nature. So all this, you establish relationship with. Then we expand our circle of influence. It's not to say you want to influence all these things. The more accurate word should be, you become more sensitive. You have the ability to actually expand your consciousness, your mind, and become aware of all the things that exist, not only you alone. Means you develop relationship not only with fellow human beings, living beings, with society, with nature, with the environment, with all the things that is within nature. So when it comes to the environment, it covers everything. The forest, the plant, the ocean, the air we breathe, the water we consume, all the minerals, everything. So our environment has all the important ingredients that the human being needs to survive, to live life, including the oxygen, whatever that is found within nature. That's why our Earth is a very unique planet. We have the atmosphere. We have the environment. Without the atmosphere, there is no life. Very difficult to sustain life. And you have to build the force shield. They call it the energy shield. You have to shield the planets from being destroyed by meteor, the UV light from the sun. If you are a science student, you will know that our environment protects us. A lot of dangerous, massive foreign elements, which we call meteor, they actually strike our planet very often. But most of the time, because of the friction and the heat, that thing before it penetrates our planet, they get burned down very fast. And also our Earth magnetic field, because of the internal molten core. This molten core has a lot of iron. That's why they are aligned in certain direction. That's why we had our North Pole and South Pole and the meridian. And the scientists can detect the strength of our Earth magnetism. That's why you can actually develop the magnet pointing towards the North Pole and South Pole. It's because our Earth core. So all these are very unique things about our planet. So as we develop the understanding, we will have more understanding of life within our planet, our society, our environment, and we become more sensitive. We are exposed to more things. The word should be exposed to more things. Not so much of expand our circle of influence. No, you don't want to influence anybody. You want to develop the understanding. So you become like more and more sensitive. You are exposed to more and more things. Then you realize you are not alone in this universe or in this planet. Then I read on, you will understand. Suji started off with the support of only 30 housewives. See, started by housewife. and has been growing every minute, every second, for more than 40 years. Within 40 years, they really, really grew and expanded. And now they have flourished. So massive and so beautiful, so different. According to the author, he said, we first reach out to people around us, then to those far away. We are constantly encouraging and inspiring people from one person to another. And this is how it moves. Yeah. So they started off by having only 30. Then they touch the heart of this 30, and this 30 constantly encourage and inspire people around them. Then from one person to another, it expands. Then now Ciji has spread all over the world and into all walks of life. So this is the meaning. This is how you can actually move for a good idea. Idea that can have the help living beings, humanity, society. Then leadership by example means if you yourself change and you yourself have the number, it will transform others, it will give faith to others, then other people can see the benefits and they will also try it out and develop the understanding. That's how all this understanding can be shared with the world. But initially, it's always very difficult. Like this morning at the lunch. We met at about 12, lunch. We discussed about this, how Dhamma can finally be shared with others. It's through your own transformation. When you understand the teaching, you are able to put it into cultivation, then develop the virtue, the wisdom, the understanding. Then this virtue and wisdom will shine forth. Then other people can see, can feel. Then they have faith. Then from one, it touch many. Then this many will touch more. Then when it starts to move, it's like the pandemic, COVID-19, is exponential. Initially, small number. But like the COVID-19, they say 1 touch 3, 3 touch 9, 9 touch 27. Then they all expand or no? And they're exponential very fast. That's why I say you need a critical mass of 1%. And very fast, it can touch others. So this is the understanding. With each step, I always ask myself, you can do this, it's very good. This is Ciji's way, Master Chen Yin's way. Yeah? When he took the renunciation, ordination from his Master Yin Sun. Yin Sun gave her, I think, only a few messages, but in a few sentences only. So this is one of them. He said, ask yourself, he said, what can you do for the Buddha's teaching or the Buddha's sasana? So this one actually expanded on her ability to form Ciji. And this is the most. So with each step, he always asks herself, what can I do for the Buddha's teaching or the Buddha's asana? When and where can I inspire the spirit of Buddha to manifest? Means the great wisdom and virtue of Lord Buddha. How can this spirit, means this virtue and understanding of the Buddha, be manifested so that mankind or human being or living beings can benefit from it? So they started off with charity. You say, we bring charity to every corner of the world in the hope of helping people. gain an accurate view of the Buddha's teaching. So the first thing she did was generosity, charity to the first right view with regards to law of karma. Do good, biggest evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So you want to have the good life. Avoid all evil, do good, follow the advice of the Buddha. And you start with generosity, followed by sila, then only samadhi, leading to panya. So this is how she started. But she is very keen to relate to life. That's why she don't use so much technical Dhamma words. She just says, start with charity. We bring charity to all corners of the world in hope of helping people gain an accurate view of the Buddhist teaching. Buddhists must not merely worship her. Listen to this. If you do that, you become idol worshipper. Then you cannot believe people don't understand for saying that. Because if you do that, do you think you are a Buddhist? No. You don't worship. You pay respect. You have gratitude. Reverential salutation. You recall to mind the embodiment of Lord Buddha and all the great beings, their wisdom and their virtue. You don't worship them. So this is very important. So the Buddha's teaching must be developed with understanding. So Buddhists must not merely worship the Buddha in temple or engage in just spiritual practice for the sake of their own merits. This is selfishness. A lot of Buddhists, they have this misconception. Why do I renounce? I renounce so that I don't get involved. So my focus is full-time cultivate. But the Buddha introduced the Sangha way, or he called it the monastic way, with a different approach, with a different understanding. What he wanted to do is to create synergy, this lineage of monks and lay people. There is a synergy. Because these are worthy people, if they keep their precept, they keep to their training, then they are worthy of respect, offering, gift, and shelter and medicine. So when you offer to them, they are filled of great limitless merits. So the synergy is in return, they will chant for your safety. They will chant for your well-being. Then they will teach them. So that's what the synergy is all about. So it's not a one-way traffic where they feed you and you meditate. No. You should actually develop the what they call the gratitude towards them. You should thank the lay people for supporting the Sangha, for having the wisdom and the understanding to support the Sangha. And you should thank them for creating the causes and conditions for all this food to be available for your sustenance. And you should rejoice with their wholesomeness. Then invoke power of merits to actually help them in return. So and when you rejoice, then you invoke power of merits. May this wholesomeness that arise through their generosity, kindness, and understanding give rise to causes and conditions for them to realize their good and noble wishes as soon as possible. So in this way, there is good synergy, good understanding. So always remember, being a Buddhist is not just to go to the temple and worship the image. Like we went on spiritual trip in China. They realized our spiritual group, Kayamita, is so different. He said, 你们这一团不一样,不是那些拜拜佛。 You know what is bye bye for? Come and just worship and donate. very keen to donate and just go in bye-bye, worship the image without understanding. So they used to commend it to us to say that our group is so different, our faith is so strong, we come with understanding, and we develop the sharing, the chanting in so different a way, and we ask for permission at way place that allow us to conduct short session of meditation, Dhamma sharing, and also at times a single day, eight precepts, cultivation. So all this they can see, and while we were traveling early morning when we wake up on the after breakfast on the bus, we will do our chanting. Then evening we will do our sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then in between we will also read it quietly, silently from our heart. Then when we visit the way place also, we do our part. And for those who are competitive with the mindfulness, you can draw a lot of things. You can receive a lot of spiritual understanding, spiritual energy. Then because of the spiritual faculty, the faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, as we move, the collective energy is very strong. And sometimes Dhamma protects us, the non-humans, all the great beings, their nature. Together we move as a force. And it's so beautiful, always very beautiful and very meaningful. That's why after the spiritual trip, all Kayamita can feel the big difference. Then when you are there, you are not tired. But when you reach home, you can sleep for sometimes 1.5 days. Or completely flat. So these are the experience that Kayamita can experience when they cultivate correctly, appropriately, and move together as spiritual friends, Kayamitas, during spiritual trips. Okay, so keep that in mind. Buddhists must not merely worship the Buddha in temple or engage just in spiritual practice for the sake of their own merits. Rather, they should learn from the Buddha's spirit and teaching and understand how to apply them in daily life. Now, this is more important. Means you must at least understand the advice of the Buddha, the essential Dhamma is taught by the Buddha, and then apply them in daily life. If you cannot apply them, means they remain as knowledge, not wisdom. You have not cultivated the understanding of the teaching. You have not awakened to the teaching. You must cultivate them and apply them in daily life so that you can live your life in accordance with his teaching, the virtue and the wisdom that he has taught you. Develop them so that you hold the embodiment of this great virtue and wisdom within your own nature, so that the Noble Eightfold Path has become part of you. Means you have the embodiments of this Noble Eightfold Path factor in you. You have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And you have the four right effort, constantly cultivated. Then you have the right mindfulness that allow you to investigate the Dhamma, develop the meditation, cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, develop heedfulness. Then samadhi to enable you to see things as they are so that your mind will not waver, remain collected in the midst of life. That's how you can see things as they are, insight into phenomena, and awaken to the three universal characteristics and become enlightened, liberated in your mind. So when you are able to do that, you become noble ones, beautiful beings. So this is what cultivation is all about. We move on. Time, space, and human relationship are most important in this world. So this emphasis is so correct. Every moment is precious. Every moment is pristine, beautiful, meaningful. You are not lost in thought. That's why time and space, you need space. Space between thought, so that you are not constantly lost in thought. So that space is clarity, lack of resistance, nothing to obstruct you or cause the lack of freedom in movement in you. Because when there is space, there is nothing to obstruct you. When you lack space, you will have a lot of obstruction. Here cannot move, there cannot move, because of your tradition, your belief system, your taboo, and all those things, your traditional belief. My mom say this one cannot, the monk say that one cannot. Then you yourself don't have to understand this idea. And this one create difficulty in movement. Yeah, you lack wisdom, you lack understanding. And all these views, opinion, conditioning, and also tradition, they actually limit your movement, block you, hinder you. That's why you dare not move, you dare not do things. You everything also refer to your tradition, your views, your memory, your opinion, what you have learned from your religious belief, religious label, your religious teaching and all those things. On your own, you cannot be independent to investigate, to develop the understanding. But when you have the Dhamma understanding, it becomes different. You don't have to rely on any other thing. Don't rely on your own understanding, wisdom, clarity. Then you can investigate into things. If I follow this instruction or this advice, do I harm myself? Do I harm others? Now this is Kalama Sutta. This is the best way to check. So apply this to your thought also. Yeah, I believe my thought. Do I harm myself and hurt myself? Do I harm others and hurt others? If it's a wrong thought, it's an evil root, isn't it? You hurt yourself, isn't it? And harm yourself, isn't it? Then it makes you evil, isn't it? You harm others, isn't it? So all the wrong thought, you cannot follow. You must develop right thought through right view, wholesome thought. So if you apply this and develop mindfulness and sensitivity, then you cannot make mistake. You will go the right way. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to believe in any religious label too. Well, these are all truth, not dogmas. These are nature's truth, based on nature's law that governs time and existence. Law of karma is fundamentally not a Buddhist law, because the Buddha teach Buddhism and they call it the Buddhist law. No, the Buddha never monopolized all these nature's law or truth. These are still ingrained within nature. They are part of nature. So these are nature's truth. It was there before the Buddha. So very scientific. No need to believe anything like the scientists to investigate into it. It will stand up to investigation. Then you know it's the truth. That's what the scientists did. Initially, when they are not sure, they call it hypothesis. Then they have to investigate into it and pass it out and stand up to investigate. And then they call it theory. Then later on, they progress further and they realize when the speed is slow, limited within the conventional limits of speed as compared to the speed of light, then the medical formula under Newtonian mechanics, well, Newton's law is based on gravity, speed at normal gravity type of influence. So you cannot move fast. So Newtonian mechanics has a set of very beautiful law and actually work very well for a long time until Einstein comes about. Then he discovered time as a fourth dimension. Then the E equals all those things come out. Then they realize when the speed tends towards the speed of light, Newton's law breaks down. From Newtonian mechanics, it breaks down. And you have to evolve a new type of mechanics called quantum mechanics, using quantum theory to predict all this movement that are at high speed, tends towards the speed of light. So under Newtonian mechanics, you talk about relative velocity, okay? If object A is traveling at 100 kilometers per hour towards an object B, which is traveling at 300 kilometers an hour towards the direction of A, so what is the relative velocity? 1 + 3 = 400 in that. Or you can prove it. But under quantum mechanics, you can say object A traveling at half the speed of light, and object B traveling at the speed of light, the relative velocity you think is 1.5 times the speed of light, isn't it? But no. When they investigate under the quantum theory, it is still the speed of light. The highest moving entity is still the speed of light. You cannot break that. The speed of light can only be broken when it's no longer the light particle or wave particle, when it's consciousness. A consciousness can travel faster than light, the speed of light, but not the conditioned world's type of wave and particle. Under that nature's law, the fastest moving is still the speed of light. That's why they call it the laser beam, perfectly synchronized. Yeah, perfect. So quantum mechanics is so different from Newtonian mechanics. Yeah. All these scientists have developed understanding and proved them. So we will also understand, like what Suji, the author, time, space, and the last one, of course, is human relation, are most important in this world. So what I want to explain to you is time is relative, space is energy. When there is space, there is wisdom light, no obstruction, space between thought. That one is beautiful, pure energy. Without space, you are lost in thought. All energy is lost in the thinking, and you lack energy. So you need to stop the thinking. But if you force it to stop, it develops into thought-based energy field, psychic and all those things. Then it follow citta niyama. But the one that is aware and conscious without thought, that one is a special pure energy, which is very different from the thought energy or the psychic energy. So you need to meditate to develop the difference, the understanding in the difference between awareness and thought. Thought is limited. Thought is a product of awareness. That's why awareness can see thought. Thought cannot see awareness. We are awareness as higher intelligence than thought. That's why awareness can be the speed of light. But thought cannot, limited within the Newtonian mechanic world of speed of light, being the fastest moving entity within. But beyond the Newtonian mechanic, you have the quantum mechanics that works differently. Okay, then I read on, you will understand. Buddhism, time is referred to as the three periods, the past, present, and the future, or yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Time is like an ever-flowing river with no beginning or end. There is a path beyond the path. At a certain point in time, a person is born into this world and this era. Yet there is always tomorrow and always, there is always today and always tomorrow. Thanks for the correction. So time never stops, not even for a second. So when it comes to time, I think I have to explain a bit, because in this book it's not explained. You see, we have two types of time. One is the physical time. Physical time, you cannot stop. Your physical time is a measurement in relationship. So our measurement comes from our Earth rotation around the sun. So they say 1 year, 365 and a quarter day. That's why they use for convenience 365 days in a year. Then they add 4 quarter, which is 1 day, a leap year. Means February month, they add one more day, February 29. So those who are born on that day, miserable. Every 4 year, one birthday. So what happened is, physical time is defined that way. So 365 days, 1 day 24 hour means you times 24 hour. Then every hour is 60 minutes, you times 60. Then every minute is 60 seconds. We have all this because of the British. The British don't like 100 and 0. They like all the funny figure, 1 foot 12 inches. Half foot 6 inches. That's why 60 seconds. They like those type of things. But for scientists, it's very, very inconvenient. We call it the metric system. Metric system is all in 0, multiple of 10, 100, and easier to work with. Otherwise, you come out with very odd figures and very difficult to remember. And it doesn't really work well. That's why later on, the metric system override the British system. They call the FPS, foot, pound, and second. So they change it to meter, kilogram. Second is the same. Then everything is multiple of 10, 100, or 1,000. So this understanding is very beautiful, okay? Physical time. Physical time, you cannot stop. Because it's calculated by a measurement. But there is another type of time. They call it the psychological time. Psychological time means when you are lost in thought, when you are thinking, then you create mental time. Understand not? Mental time is psychological time. You are thinking. It's like you are living. Understand not? It's like you have life where you think a lot. And this is psychological time, mental time. But when your mind is without thought, what happens? There is no mental time in that. You are in that silence, that stillness. Your mind doesn't move. That is what the unconditioned is. That is what stillness is. That essence of mind is, that nature is. That nature is timeless, akaliko. Realize that. Understand that. So when the mental time is not there, means you are not thinking. You are not heedlessly lost in thought. You are completely still with that nature. The awareness nature. No word, nothing. No concept. No movement. Just aware. But from there, everything arises. That's like creation, everything arises. See that? understand it in the meditation. So mental time is psychological time. Physical time is a measurement based on the condition rule. So these two, you so when they come to our age, they have different names also. Biological age is the moment you are born, based on biological age. Then when they say, how old are you? You normally refer to biological age. Then some people who are more smart, I don't call it more wise, they always say, physically I may look old, but my heart is still young. 人老心不老。In Cantonese is 人老心不老。So what is the meaning? Young at heart, physically, you are old. So people who know how to differentiate, at least they can make a difference from the state. But both of these are still within the mundane world, mundane mind. Because when you talk about biological age, you talk about the mind that never gets old, yet never gets sick, and never die. The reason being that mind has two aspects they don't understand. The true mind, correct, never born, never old, never sick, and never die. But the mundane mind does get old, does get sick, and finally it can also disperse. What is the mundane mind? When there is lack of wisdom, lack of Dhamma understanding, what happens? It creates attachment, clinging, mental suffering, misery. That's why there is mental suffering, dukkha. So when you have a lot of views, opinion, and conditioning, the mind become old, aged, miserable. But when you don't have all this wrong view, everything, your mundane mind can become very beautiful, never age, never die, because it doesn't accumulate, it doesn't cling, it doesn't hold, it has the wisdom to protect it. It is always with clarity, awareness. It never accumulates. It's always living in the present, away, within the moment. Can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life moment to moment. And everything is so pristine, so beautiful. That is the enlightenment. And that mind never age. That mind is very beautiful, full of joy, full of stillness, clarity, heedfulness, awareness. That is the mind of an enlightened being. And this state is possible. You can have it. So this is the aspect that I want to explain, which is not in this book. Okay? Then we move on. We do not know how long we live. No matter how long it is, there will be an end. Each of us have 24 hours a day. How much can we accomplish? Although 1 second is very short, if 60 people all dedicate 1 second at the same time, it will equal to 1 minute's worth of work. If 60 people work on the same day for 1 minute, that will be worth an hour's work. By the same token, how much influence one person can have, how much work can one person accomplish, is indeed quite insignificant. 60 people, however, will be able to widen their influence a bit more. How much is one person's strength? We know sometimes it is difficult for an individual to pull up another person from the ground. But it is not hard for 60 people to do it together. The world is a vast space, and having a heart broad enough to encompass the universe requires expanding the reach of love. With time, all things can be accomplished. With more people working together towards the same goal, more things can be achieved over time, and their reach can expand even wider. This is the positive view that we can develop towards time and space. So this is her mundane way of optimizing and mobilizing more and more Tsuji members to do their work. No. Go on. I want to make sure I get the right page. So now we are at page. I know. That's why I had to get it. Okay, we are on this page. We are on page 74, last paragraph. My teacher, Dharma Master Yin Sun, this is the Yin Sun Lao He Sang, Yin Sun, said that the Dhamma is inseparable from this time, this place, and people. What does this remind you? You remember the four types of clear comprehension? Clear comprehension of suitability. That is what the master is teaching her. He said the most important time is here and the now, this time. The most important place is this place. And the most important people are the people that are around you. This time refers to this present moment, precise moment, right now. This place refers to the world. We are living in today. While people refers to you, me, and everyone else. Master Yin Sun also said, it is most important to purify our mind and benefit others. See, he added in the word, benefit others. This is a past precept. The three types of pure precept. So the last advice is actually purify your mind. But the Bodhisattva's precepts of pure precept, the last one is, apart from purifying our mind, is to benefit others, to take others across. So a pure mind is the Buddha nature intrinsic to every one of us. See, Yin Sun also know. The mind was originally calm and peaceful, but it became agitated due to causes and conditions. Once agitated, it is hard to settle. Here they didn't explain much, but I think the person who spoke understand. So due to causes and conditions means condition. Kama is one of them, yes. So the mind was originally calm and peaceful, like I said, don't do anything, let it return to its original state, which is tranquil, still, peaceful, aware, clarity. Because before the stirring, that mind was there, that true nature. Then all the stirring and movement come from what? Delusion, wrong view, sakarity. These are the causes and conditions that cause it to stir, to become agitated. How your mind reacts to sense experience. Then Yin Sun say, once it stirs or become agitated, it's hard to settle. True or not? Well, this has become a tendency. Not until you reverse the heedless thinking through some skillful means like mind sweeping method followed by metta, or relax, maintain awareness, or cultivate the five spiritual faculty to reverse it. So all these are the understanding, but it's not explained here. So with your training, you should understand all this in a very different way. And your understanding can be much deeper. Then I move on, next paragraph. If we are mindful at any given time and space and in our relationship, we will find the Dhamma and our true intrinsic nature in everything, which is very true. You need mindfulness. That's why he said, if you are mindful at any given and space, and in our relationship, we will find the Dhamma, which is the truth. We are nature's law, you can see it. And the true intrinsic nature in everything, where you will know how to stay there inside. From your true mind, your nature, you manifest. Since we are determined to become living bodhisattva, we must make good use of time to contribute wherever we are. When we are with others, we must make them feel assured, joyful, and at ease, which is Dhamma joy. Therefore, we must pick the right direction and seize every moment to cultivate kindness, blessing, long-lasting relationship, and great love. To do this, sincerity, virtue, wisdom, and understanding. So these are the three things he hasn't mentioned. But what he mentioned here is very true. Therefore, you must pick the right direction and seize every moment to cultivate within your own nature, your kindness, your compassion, your blessing. Then for long-lasting relationship, your sincerity, your wisdom, your understanding, and great love. Otherwise, you cannot do it. The work of a bodhisattva need wisdom and virtue. What kind of life is meaningful? The more fully a person utilizes time and space, the more meaningful his life is. Time flies by with each second. If we seize upon every moment to engage in spiritual cultivation, then we will be able to achieve certain level of attainment over time. In other words, when we take one step at a time to diligently cultivate ourselves and continue benefiting others, we will be able to accumulate goodness and bring blessing to ourselves. So this one is very true. We have the Tsuchi way of cultivation or developing this bodhisattva way is slightly different. They have their ways. To them, I have explained before, their organization Tsuchi form from two words. Ci is Ci Bei, compassion. Qi is Jiu Qi, means help out in disaster time with compassion in action. Help out in disaster time or nature's disaster, means during crisis. The word is crisis time. So for them, they don't teach you the Dhamma first. They ask you to go and volunteer and do the work that they do, means relieve suffering, using compassion to help people in crisis. So that's how they move. When you see enough of suffering, then you must learn how to express your gratitude, is it? That's the reason why a lot of the victims become like confused. These Tsuchi people come, rescue you, help you, actually did a lot of things to make your life better. And yet, they thank them. Is it kanen, kanen, kanen? Because they are told to express gratitude. Actually, their meaning is, without you having this crisis, I got no opportunity to come and serve you or help you. So because of your condition, I have gratitude towards you, Kanan. A lot of these victims become, I should be the one saying gratitude towards you and thank you for coming to save our life and manage our problem. So all this understanding is their way of developing compassion. They call it compassion in action. Then they develop gratitude. They express kanan. Then through doing this, they say, you build up your own merits, your own dharma. Then after that, you will have a lot of joy, because when you can relieve other people of suffering, when you can help others to come out of crisis, you feel very good, isn't it? Have you all ever done that? Go and try it out. Whoever you can save, not necessarily human being, initially maybe save the smaller creature, the ants that get stuck in your muck and all those things, or the fly, like something, the food or what. Save all those first. Or save a passing puppy or a dog that is in hunger or whatever. When you can do it, you realize there is a lot of joy. Then you see them turn around and develop the happiness, the joy. Then especially dogs and puppy or kitten, they will like you. They will never forget you. They will come after you. They follow you. When I was young, I helped a few of these small dogs before. They abandoned, people throw away. Then I have compassion at that time. Then whatever I have, I feed them. Then if not, I will tell them, come, follow me. So I took them back. Then I go to the kitchen and look for the balance of food. The what they call, we cannot finish on. Or some rice from the rice cooker. And I will take out and feed them. Then sometimes, if it's the dog, the chicken bone, I make it a point to keep them, don't throw away. And then feed them. Then sometimes you go to certain places and eat, you realize the cat come around you and the dog. Last time it's quite common, nowadays it's less common. So sometimes I will still feed them, but I feed them away from the table so that they don't come around you. Then I realize that after a while, they know who or not. They come and rub against your leg, your pants. I mean, they're asking for food and all this thing. And then normally I have a talk to them. I say, end of the day. Or I say, wait. Then later on, all this, you can feel the joy when you are able to relieve their suffering and help them in certain way. So Ciji people has the same feeling of my father. They all who went in the early years after I asked him to join. They came back and told me. He said, these people really suffer, miserable. Then only they teach them the teaching. He said, you don't take care of karma, you end up like them. You want to have this type of life. You go and become heedless and do all those funny things. When you cheat and deceive, you will lose all your wealth. Nature will come back and take them away. Or disaster will arise and you will lose them. Sometimes you know, fire, flood, earthquake, tsunami, building collapse or whatever. Then you get separated, your wealth and all. So these are first number true reality. Then after that, they will teach them the teaching, the four, then the three turnings of the four number true. Especially Noble Eightfold Path. They will stress on Noble Eightfold Path. But they won't tell them the explanation is not so detailed. They won't start with right view. Law of karma, obviously. They say, do good. 做好事,说好话. Then think of the right thought. Miss, do good. Wholesome action. And speak gently, beneficially, then gentle loving and proper speeches. Then after that is think the right thought, wholesome thought. Beautiful, virtuous thought. So all this is what they teach. But they continuously emphasize on these three things. Think of the right thought and all those things. And they, like mantra, let them memorize. So every time they go out on their field trip or to help people, they always remember right speech, right action, right thought, no negativity. At first, my brother cannot understand, come and ask me, why, what is noble effort? Then I explain, straight away he understand. But the way I explain is from, we call it from basic, means clean slate. I explain right now, the three evil roots. Then how the right view will condition the right thought, right for right effort, then the whole noble eightfold path. Then he understand very easily. Then there was joy. Then he learned the teaching. Then they have a lot of this Ta Ai Tai means there is a TV series about great love, compassion, great love. Then they show you true story of people whom they have helped before, that they have helped turn around their life. And most of these are very touching. In the early days, my brother installed the program in Alastair. And he also took one down here and installed for my house. And my wife and we all used to see them, view them. It's quite interesting, actually. Quite touching. And because of that, it become popular, their teaching. Then every morning or next time, they are sovereign. They call the founder, Zheng Yan Fasi, as sovereign. So every time, early morning, she will wake up and she will give this recorded teaching. Then they will broadcast it out in their time and all those things. And that's how the member will receive the teaching and the updates of what Ziji is doing all over the world. And sometimes they show you beautiful video about how they help out in crisis time all over the world. Especially that time, the tsunami 2004 in Indonesia. I saw a lot, they did a lot. And the Indonesian government also become touched and they accepted Ziji. China also same. They allow them to go in. These are the few organizations that have received recognition worldwide. Then also, so Ziji's way is different. This is what I want you to understand. So I read on the last paragraph, then you will understand. This world is our training ground, according to Zheng Yan Fasi or the Sangam. We see many suffering people. Their various suffering are due to different causes and conditions. This is coming. When we relieve their suffering and bring them joy, this is the part. We are cultivating blessing and nurturing wisdom in this training ground as living bodhisattvas. So this is the part that they do. I repeat, when they are able to relieve their suffering and bring them joy, they are cultivating blessing and nurturing wisdom in this training ground for us. Furthermore, we must make vow, see? As Bodhisattva, you must make vow to come back to this Saha world, life after life, to serve as living Bodhisattva. But I taught you on the Bodhisattva vow is much more than this. You must come back with that understanding, that right view. And you must invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to have this understanding and right view and the essential Dhamma, life after life. So that whether sasana or no sasana, you will not get lost. So these are all the important pointer towards cultivation. Okay, we can stop here. So we are at page 75. Oh, we finished, yeah. Okay, we finished, very good. So 75, we finished, yeah. Good. So what's the time? Oh, exactly 4:36. Good. Means that we exceeded a bit. Never mind. We can have half an hour of meditation. Eh? Maybe 40 minutes. We don't need so much time towards the end. Okay, I'll give you 40 minutes to meditate. So the next chapter is page 76. Return to ones beyond nature. This is beautiful. Eh? So if you have time, you go back, read up a bit, so that when you come back next Sunday, you will have the understanding, and when I share, you will understand faster. Okay? So let us off the light. Then we will have half an hour or 40 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we will have our second session. Okay? So just remember, relax, maintain awareness. Then as long as you can, if possible, 24 hours, you maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Let the mind settle down. Then let it return to its original state of stillness so that you can realize your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature. Then from there, you observe what happened. From that nature, everything arises. And because you have the consciousness trapped inside, you have the sense basis, so the awareness can see clearly how things arise and how things disappear. How your mundane mind come to be, how it stir, how it react, how it get conditioned into negativity, how it develop attachment, craving, suffering, misery, all you can see. Then you can also see all your mundane mind's activity and movement following the dwelling, the teacher Samuppada, and also the essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty, the second seven factors of enlightenment. All you can see them. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And always remember, maintain a good religious daily routine and develop the stability of daily mindfulness. Yes, the real meditation ultimately is the stability of daily mindfulness. So ability to be mindful in the midst of life is very important. Okay, now we will open up for reporting of meditation and question and answer. You can report your meditation and also ask whatever question related to the Dhamma meditation, and also how to apply what you have learned to help you overcome whatever life situation or problem that you have. Okay, you can just show your hand or on your mic, then you can come in. That's all, yes.
Bratio,
yeah.
Bratio, 我想 share 一个这个在last week 的一个 experience， but 我不懂是不是一个because last week 我的 office 有一个 case happening， 所以我的 mind 一直被 disturb， 所以我可以 aware 到我的那个 heart 那边就是那个 mundane mind 就一直在 arise。 他很像一直在紧紧的一直在 grasping 一直在抓住、就那个那种感觉就一直他一直在 arise although、我一直去 apply 我的 understanding、like what I learned from 这个 Dharma、他 on and off 他还一直会 arise 一直去一直很像他很像一直在咬住这样子哦，那个满地麦一直要 arise。就 about third days 的时候，
嗯，
然后我就有一我就去好、我就在那个我就去 pantry 拿水的时候，我想要怎样的去 deal with 这个满地麦，然后我就然后 I recall that 我们要 relax into it 的时候，就、他那个很舍得的那个Monday night 哈、他又一直在那个 heart 那边很不舒服，然后我就去 stay and relax into it 的时候，他就 cease 了他就 cease 了，然后 then after that 我 lunch hour 我去买饭的时候哈、然后我就再去 observe 哎、那个感觉。他就没有了，他就完全是在 cis 里面。
Yeah.
忽然间我有我就 我不懂这是一个 thought 还是 understanding， 来我就 recall that, 我们每次有讲 so, whatever, 就如果那个my 的 feeling, 如果是讲啊就是如果是unwholesome, 你也 aware, wholesome, 你也
aware, 什么不愿意做
对。
All this is dependent originating. So, 你的 Monday mind 也要去灭掉它 the worst it become one, it becomes stronger one. Because you have to use the understanding to let it cease. The understanding is let it be. That it is just the way nature is. When you don't have the clear understanding to let it be, it will continue to do that because your Monday mind want to think of way.To overcome it to the Dhamma. So you actually that time you are applying Dhamma knowledge, which is not the wisdom. The wisdom is don't have to do anything. So this is a phase you also have to clear. Otherwise, off and on, you get stuck in that phase. Maybe this is something new that your office face. You can share the problem or not, the situation.
Actually 是是有一个有一个 job 是我的 colleague handle but 我的 colleague 他没有去 solve it out then 就在我们的 WhatsApp group 里面，我的老板他在 weekend 他看到那个 email， 因为是 deal with the lawyer， 所以、我的老板就 ask 叫我们去 solve it out then suddenly 我。然后我的老板就以为这个 job 是 handled by me。就在那个 WhatsApp group 里面就骂我。他就一直哇很 very 的齁、真的是一直。Then the next, so it's a Saturday night, 他就 like, Saturday 一直 blame 我为什么我没有去 settle 这个 job, 什么什么、一直 blame 我。Then on the Sunday morning, 因为 at the Saturday night, 我就没有 replies。我没有 replies then but 我的 mind 就被 disturbed 了 so but Sunday morning 的时候我 suddenly like 我有好我就 replies 他 like apologize if I overlook but 我只想我 I never received this job so then 他 realized that 他也搞错了 but
okay
but 就是 because of this case 啊哇我就 like 我的 mind 就很像一直 like一直很不爽啊，里面哈。
对。
然后它就一直 arise， 一直 cross， 一直 arise。
I will explain to you what happened. You explain this, then I will know. Because in life, there is always certain thing that people blame you because it's actually not your fault. Then people blame you. Yeah. Then you will try to like use your contemplative wisdom or.If you are not careful, it becomes knowledge to overcome it, to resolve it. That's how you get that into trouble. But because you have the mindfulness, you are sensitive. That's why you can feel that this mundane mind inside there is still disturbing you because there is a lack of peace. There is still attachment, clinging, wanting to resolve it. but you don't know how to do it. Then you recall the Dhamma of relax, be with it. If you do that, it will cease. But you have to realize this for a few more times so that you can apply it across the board. Means in future, whatever happens, you don't even need to do that, but the understanding is already stable enough for you to root it out. So initially, silent, let it cease, which means you will come to understand that this clinging, grasping, or holding, or the attachment by the mundane mind is due to your, at that time, the lack of understanding, because the thought will say, this is not my problem, but why my boss believe it's my problem? So that attachment to that thought is by the mundane mind. That's why it creates like unfinished business, unresolved. So Krishnamurti call it disorder. Disorder. So when you silence your mind, be with it, then it ceases, then you have to reflect and contemplate. What do you learn? That this is condition arising, mental state. It can be an emotion, unhappy emotion, or the thought, call it a problem. So all this is the condition behind its arising, and that is attachment, craving, clinging. But you have to reflect. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. Misunderstanding will happen. So what you need to do is resolve it, finish. Then every time situation happen, can be in other form, when it comes, you will know how to handle it. You don't have to be with it already, because you know that these are all condition arising, mind state. Nothing to do with your true nature, your true mind. But the thought will tell you differently. But the problem is still there. I haven't resolved it. Correct. The thought will tell you this. And then if you are not mindful, aware, and with the wisdom, you will be deceived by the thought, and you will try to solve it using knowledge again. But because you have gone through, when you silence your mind and be with it, you realize this is the mundane mind, no reality. The true nature is always peaceful. But mundane reality needs wisdom to resolve. So how do I resolve it? I do what I have to do. Understand not? So you need to apply whatever skillful means you apply. You need to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. Then you need to arise the right thought, right speech, like you reply to your boss, your boss. You say, this handle was, this job was not handled by you. So clear that, then it will not come to you. But sometimes, maybe let's say it's actually you miss the situation, then you forgot that it was your job. Even let's say it was actually your job. But no need to panic, understand? Condition arise already. You have to understand what is actually happening. Then resolve it amicably. Resolve it amicably means attend to it. If you can do it before the boss come back, do it. But if you need the boss to give you the consent where it may involving the company to do certain type of thing, can be a compensation or an extra effort on your company's part, means you need to seek the boss consent. So normally, if there is such a situation, I will advise my whoever who is having the problem to go and discuss it with the boss first. Actually, you should call him immediately, say, we have a situation here. The client insists that they want all this. But based on our understanding, this is not standard procedure. This is what our office procedure is. What do you think? Do we want to give in? Or do we want to just like in a very nice way explain to them or tell them off in the sense that it is not right for them to insist on all this? Yeah, but it depends on the situation and the skill. So you need consent. You talk to the boss. The boss very fast on. If they are a good boss, they will understand. And they say, okay, you handle. They will always tell me, Theo, you handle. Don't worry. Just do what you have to do. Sort it out. Then most of the time, I don't have to go back to them because I am given the authority to deal with all these things. So I will deal direct. But if I know sometimes the boss may not even agree in the sense that it may involve the company's reputation, then they might have to go back to the board of directors for a decision. All this, if you are involved in corporate level type of company, where decision from the board of directors are involved, you must be more tactful. Then you have to resolve it amicably through a solution. So normally when it involves a company, big problem, because I have worked with a few organizations before, then they will call the top management for meeting, or then they brainstorm and try to get a solution to deal with it. Yeah, last time, we are a listed company, contractor. So as a contractor, the consultant will try to blame us, point a finger at us. The client will also try to blame us, point a finger at us. Then we will have to solve and resolve all these things amicably so that our reputation is not affected, so that we can still have good relationship with them, so that we will still get job from them. So there are a lot of understanding and compromise that is needed. It's not a straightforward right and wrong thing. So yeah, this particular issue, I think, is straightforward. Yeah, after you clear with your boss, after you have gone through that cessation means the ability to be with it and it cease, then it doesn't disturb you anymore means you have resolved it. Yeah. So resolving a situation in life is very important. You need to apply Noble Eightfold Path. It's like application of Noble Eightfold Path is the solution. Yeah. But don't use mundane knowledge. If you use mundane knowledge, how come there is still attachment? I thought I already don't have that delusion. It's not like that. Because mundane situation needs solution through Noble Eightfold Path. You have to approach people in a very tactful way. So if it's something that do with karmic, you want to improve the condition, you need to seek forgiveness or repentance, you go ahead. Then you radiate love and metta and invoke power and merit for causes and conditions to enable this situation or so-called problem in inverted comma to be resolved amicably. Then sometimes you need to talk to certain people to resolve things. You can radiate metta to them too. Wish them well-being and happiness. And have a good, positive mind state. Then resolve it. This brings about a good condition with regards to application of Dhamma in daily life. Means when you encounter situation or problem, first is the initial wisdom that will enable you to be at peace. Always remember, no matter what happens, be at peace. And you can't be at peace because you are sensitive, you are mindful, you know that thing is disturbing you and still moving there. Then you relax into it, like what you did is good. Then silence your mind, be with it. Then experience that cessation, that it will cease. Then everything is like clear, nothing inside there anymore. That process you can. Whenever you have a condition, you go through it, experience it, and let it cease. Let it cease. The more, the better. And every time it ceases, you know already. The answer is already there. Your nature actually has the answer already. Everything is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of no reality. Anger is not me. Fear is not me. Anxiety or whatever, or all this subtle suffering within the mind is not me. Then all this become understood. Then you ask yourself, how can I resolve this amicably? The word is amicably. Yeah. Then the solution is always Noble Eightfold Path. So Noble Eightfold Path, with right view, I will start. Then I have to approach people. I have to resolve problem, resolve situation through what? Right speech, right action, right thought, right understanding. So I resolve it. Yeah. Then I need right effort, yeah, to actually develop the cultivation of all the wholesome mind state that can help me improve the whatever communication with people. So a lot of these things need to be developed and understood clearly. Even the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation of right speech, right action, and right thought, different condition demands different skill, different understanding. So all this needs to be developed. That's why it will end up as part of your Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. Then you will, from the various situation that you have gone through or help people to overcome, you yourself learn. Then you understand the cause and effect, karmic conditioning and all those things, why situation can be like that, and how it manifests and unfold. Then you can see them very clearly. Then sometimes it's meant to be for you to learn. So certain things will arise for no reason. It will make your mind stay like last time I used to share with people. After a long time, you don't have mental hindrance. Suddenly your mind for no reason becomes restless. Even Ajahn Mahabodhi, long time Mahabodhi, also experienced that. He cannot do anything to that restless mind. So finally he realized he has to revert back to mindfulness. But he tried to use Buddha to control the mind. Cannot. He finally gave up. Then he realized, finally, is to realize that true mind, the silent mind within, the mindfulness, the stability, then see the cessation, the understanding of the dependent origination, cause and effect, paticca-samuppada. So without avijja, there is no sankhara. No sankhara, no problem. Everything finished. But in life, when you are working, career, when you are dealing with your colleague, friends, neighbor, customer, it's a different condition altogether. But this is not only about you and the world. It's about you and your career, and your boss and your colleague. So this involves another step of resolving things amicably. Otherwise, you can just accept him for what he is, then forget about it. Understand? That one is easier. That stage of cultivation is easier. Accept them for what they are. But within the conditioned world, you have to resolve the issue amicably. You have to resolve whatever so-called life situation or problem in inverted comma amicably. And that part need application of Noble Eightfold Path, need understanding, need skill. It's a completely different set of training. So that aspect of the cultivation, not many people have gone through it. So for you, it's good that you have come across it. Then luckily today you share, so it will help you. So always remember that sensitive mind that is able to be aware of all this is the beginning. Means you know that thing hasn't been resolved. So Krishnamurti call it disorder. There is no order. That's why it keep on haunting you and disturbing. But it's no more an aggressive thought, understand? Aggressive problem. You know there is a situation that need to be resolved and it's not resolved. You are sensitive, you are mindful. That's why you can feel it. then you can reflect and contemplate and develop the understanding of the Dhamma to resolve it. So finally, it's Noble Eightfold Path. You have to come back to resolve things. To free your mind is very easy, like what you did. Relax, maintain awareness, silent, it cease. Then no more problem. But the mundane mind will come back and tell you, but problem not resolved yet. So who is to resolve it? The mundane mind, the former mind is to resolve it. And, through what? Through wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. Always remember, it will take you back to the Noble Eightfold Path. Then you will have to reflect, contemplate, right view. What is right view? Right view regards to what? Then it will come up. Mainly it's related to karma. Then how the mind functions. So sometimes, like your this particular case, it could be your colleague who is maybe without Dhamma and not tactful, maybe given wrong speech, antagonize the client, or make mistakes. Someone don't want to admit, want to like cover his mistake by telling lie and all those things. Are that situation more difficult to deal? But for me, if there is a colleague or somebody who made this mistake, my advice to the management is admit our mistake that we have done wrong. That's it. From there we start and become very easy. Then the client will tone down. they will become very different. Otherwise, they will have this type of feeling that they are also human being. You think I'm stupid. I pay you a fee, I pay you money to do a service or a job. And you mess it up and you don't want to admit and you try to make me like a soul child. So all these things is the way of the mundane mind. They will think that way. So you will find it very difficult to resolve it when people already get angry with you. And when they make the decision not to trust you, they make the decision to sue you. So legally, it may involve the lawyer, like you said just now. It has gone to the lawyer. Means serious case already. Understand? So nip it at the bud. Resolve it if possible. So don't let the fire become beyond control. Once it's beyond control, it's very difficult. But it can still be resolved. Need to apologize? Apologize. Just be sincere. It's just a job, understand, a career. The boss should panic more actually because they own the company. But even if you are the shareholder or the boss or you own the company, you can still resolve it. Because I always help to resolve a lot of these things for my management. Whenever they have a problem, they will look for me. Then they want my feedback, my solution, my idea. They realize every time I got problem, they come and approach me, and when I'm involved, I resolve it very well. So they know I am a problem solver. I can solve things. I don't argue with people. I don't even want to point finger or blame people. There are no point. It's our company, our organization. We work towards organization objective. If there's a situation, a problem, we all work towards it. That's it. Finish it. Resolve it. Don't point finger. It's not a time to blame who right, who wrong. This will not solve our problem. Our problem is to get together and find solution. Yeah. So with this, I think you should know what to do. Huh? So, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, 我觉得这一次的这一个condition 是一个一个 test 让我去 realize to put Dharma into a practice.
对, application like just now Sisi mentioned how to apply the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all this, so that later on when it's completely rooted out, you become very skillful in it. Then you realize there is no such thing as a problem, like what I realized. Where you don't perceive it in negativity anymore, you just resolve it. Resolve it, apply your Noble Eightfold Path. Means wisdom way following Noble Eightfold Path. Don't act according to memory anymore, knowledge. All those things cannot solve your problem. Whatever that can solve your problem is Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is the wisdom way of the Buddha.
But Virat 有很多的时候、yeah. 这个 Dharma 我们是 understand, but 是 in the knowledge
application,
wise. But come to the real situation 的时候我们还是要去 learn how to apply.
Yeah, correct, yeah. Because I told you, you are in a conditioned world. The form and mind has to resolve it. Remember that sentence. The form and mind has to resolve it. Understand? Because we live in a conditioned world. They recognize this relationship. That's why we have relationship with all things. And they constitute karma. You can resolve it amicably, whether helping your colleague, or helping your own form and mind, or helping your management or what. It is something that you have developed through your understanding and your skill. And this is the karmic inheritance that you will receive. Then in future, whenever a situation arrives, you will not have problem with it. Well, I realize maybe my case is different, but for other people, you listen to this carefully. For my case, because my nature has this understanding, this wisdom, and I know how to take care of my own problem. I resolve all my life issues amicably, and I don't really have problem. My this life is very small, very strange. Or whatever happened, also I know how to resolve things very well, very fast. All my family's problem, my father will come to me, although I am the number two son. Every time I got problem or whatever, involving brother, sister, neighbor, or whatever, my father will call me. Then I will listen, then I ask a few questions, then I will know how to instruct him, and he will know how to resolve it. Sometimes I say, you don't worry, you go and see my classmate who is a lawyer, I will talk to him, then he will handle for you. And then resolve. Like last time I told you, my father, he never in his life sue anybody. But because of his shop in Alosta, the Simangola one, the developer want to redevelop that whole area. Then they decided to compensate all the house owner, shop owner, a new shop lot. But they got condition, and while they relocate my father, they give him a temporary shop lot. Then he said, this shop lot, there is a condition, you cannot rent out to people. You cannot use it for other things except your own business. So he signed the thing. Then I think the developer is up to no good. They have their trick up the sleeve. They want to deceive and cheat all these elderly people. They think they don't know the law. So they purposely send an insider from their company to go and talk to my father to rent a small space for him. Then my father thought, well, at that time he want to retire, he is not really doing any business. He said, okay, I let you have that place and use. But he insists on paying my father a rental. So he said, don't worry, uncle, I'm very fair to you. He said, we have a small agreement. So with the black and white there, and because of the black and white, they hire a lawyer and write to my father and want to take back the new shop lot that was allocated to my father. Because the new shop lot cost market price 300,000, I think. But they sold to my father cheaper by 80,000 because he was the original holder then. So they want to rescind that one. So my father received a lawyer letter. He was panicked. He said, how can the developer do this? Then I heard about the thing. Then he called me. Then I said, don't worry, I can help you resolve it. You go to my classmate. So my classmate is a lawyer, very established in Alastar. So he told my father, he said, uncle, I can help you, but I cannot do it for you. Because I came to know that my classmate is actually the lawyer for the developer. If you act for the developer, how can you sue the developer? You must be crazy. Right? And what my lawyer classmate did was, he said, don't worry, I introduce you one from Penang, one very good one. This guy can help you. So my father took the address with my brother, went out to Penang. Wow, this guy, new lawyer, he want to become famous. He took up my father's case and he fought. In fact, a lot of people who actually involved in similar situation as my father, some are non-shop lot or they refuse to compensate them full and properly. So what they do was they gang together and have a group of lawyers. This developer very cunning. They buy up the lawyer, pay them all, and the lawyer discharge themselves and don't want to act for them. So a lot of them couldn't claim. Then he want to buy out my father's lawyer also. But this guy, he don't want that money. He want the reputation. And my father was a good karma. Finally, my father won the case. You know what happened? Instead of that shop lot, the judgment was such that the developer has to go and get my father a lot to replace, buy back that lot. But that lot belonged to a doctor who don't want to sell to him. So my father got a lot of compensation. He got almost 800,000 to 900,000 compensation because the case dragged on for more than 10 years. And the judgment came out. He go and value that shop lot based on that doctor who actually bought that shop lot and rented out the rental how much for how long. Then 8% interest. Then the difference between the market price now to buy back minus the cost, 250, plus all the rental and the interest he has to pay my father. That's why my father after that was very happy, and that was almost a few years before he passed away. So he was full of joy, I remember. So a lot of things can be resolved, don't worry. So these are the understanding in life. You don't worry people cheat you or they go the underground way and all those things. As long as you have good karma, you don't worry. But my father never sued anybody before. This case was the only time he said he somehow tell my brother and me that I have never sued anybody in my life, and it beyond my wildest dream to get so much compensation. He said, that's why he was very happy when he won the case. He had so much joy. So believe in the law of karma. Be righteous. Be true to yourself. Don't get angry. That's why I told my father, don't worry. Then my father even told me when he went to the court case, he said, the judge, Malay guy, but quite elderly also, I think, almost 60, coming to 60, 50 plus 60. He saw my father that time almost coming to 80, got white hair, everything. He tell all the developer, he said, ini ape sudah tua macam ni, you pun mau macam ni buat dia. He tell the developer, then he straight away gave judgment and all those things. He asked him to pay. He said, compensate, finish. Then work out the detail with the registrar, I don't know what, and the two lawyers decide. Then the Penang lawyer, very smart. Wow, he put in that claim. Then they negotiate. Then finally, I think they cut down a bit of the legal fees. Behind the legal fees, he also whacked him quite a lot. So my brother asked me, how should we deal with the lawyer? I said, don't worry. This lawyer is my classmate's friend. I said, I will talk to him. All the legal fees that he claimed, give it to him. I said, then as agreed, based on success basis, we pay him certain percentage of what we claim. And the lawyer became very, very famous after that. So that's how all this can be resolved amicably, beautifully. Okay. So this is the very important aspect of Dhamma that a lot of people don't understand. Luckily, you asked, you created the condition, so sadhu. Because applying over if opam is not easy. And most people haven't reached that stage of cultivation. Well, they can't even cultivate the basic Dhamma, the four noble truth, the understanding of all this. They don't even have the ability to allow the suffering mundane mind to cease. That's why they cannot go through all this. So for you, you have the ability, the sensitivity, that's why you can actually develop the understanding. But luckily you reported this and I can share with you my understanding and my experience, what I have through and how I resolve all this. There is one last part which I didn't finish just now. I told you, for normal people, it could be different. For me, because of my past, I can resolve all this. I can handle all this. So I don't have a problem. But for other people, if you, like now, you help your colleague to resolve this or help your company management, then in future, let's say future life, you become owner of company, or you work in a place where you make mistake, there will be people who has the understanding to come and help you where you help people before. This is what karma is all about. But for my case, I don't have such problem because my nature can resolve all this myself. It's, to me, it's like very straightforward. Even before I know the Dhamma, I also know how to resolve things and make me on my own. I don't really have problem. Maybe the karmic past also very good. The karmic nature, the inheritance, spiritual inheritance and understanding. All this is there. That's why I can help a lot of people to resolve problems. And even this life, I help so many people. Of course, my family is already a very big family. And my father, my brothers, sisters, all whatever problem they have, they call me. I go back, New Year, I resolve. Sometimes no need on the phone, resolve. My younger brother is also say, I went back and resolved it. Actually, normal people cannot resolve. Very difficult. Especially my youngest brother's problem. He's too pampered by my father. Until my mother worried so much. All the other 9 brothers and sisters are very successful, doing very well. Unique in their own way, except my youngest brother. Pampered by my father. Wow, that one big problem. Involved with a lot of wrong things. Then my father and my mother worried. My father worried but pamper him. My mother worried, come down and see me and talk to me. Then I told my mother, don't worry, I go back and resolve it. So I call up my father. Then I make an appointment with my youngest brother. I say, wait for me this year. I want to talk to you. Oh, that year I went back. That was about, I think, easily 20 years ago. I talked to him, completely resolved. And he turned around and became so beautiful. And he is so different now. He went to Tsuji. He did a lot of good things now. Or something. He was helping people and other things. And he has his own family. The children all went to university already. Graduated. I think 20 over years. Not 20 years. The children also graduated already. Maybe 30 years ago. Something like that. Okay. I think we should end. 6:01 already.
Yeah.